With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Alvo, running the three-man show with Jason out getting his colonoscopy. But joining us right now on the Mattress Ross Hotline is our pal, entertainment reporter for Fox 5, Kevin McCarthy. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning, Papa Squeezy. How you
when
guys
was
doing?
Your last haircut, Kevin McCarthy?
Oh, it's at least the beginning of March. I mean, my hair looks like the tidal wave from Deep Impact. Like, it's like it's just towering right now. No, but honestly, it's been a long time. Have you guys got any haircuts or you know, Jason?
My wife cut my hair. I did kind of a combo. I bought the clippers. I used the two guard, and I did kind of the sides and the back, and then she did the top.
That looks pretty good.
My hair has a very specific way it's cut, and I feel like the design, because I have very straight hair. I get it from my mom, and it takes a lot to like move it around to make it stick up or whatever. So not to get into minutia, but the guy who cuts it does it like a masterful job, and I could not do that at home. So I'd rather have it go longer than mess up what we've been doing for a couple years, you know?
I mean, it's pretty tall.
Yeah, it's tall. No. Trust me, I'm doing like Zoom interviews with a lot of actors and filmmakers for virtual press junkets. And, you know, it's actually interesting because if you interview someone a bunch of times throughout the years, they start, you know, recognizing your face or whatever. So like I was interviewing Josh Gad the other day, who's been doing all those reunions for Back to the Future and Goonies, and he said exactly what you said, JP. Like he was even questioning why my hair had gotten longer. So it's definitely I don't know, it's just playing into kind of where we're at right now, right?
Just, no, I mean, you know, it looks fine. I don't know how you keep it up. Like you must have a lot of product to keep that stuff up. You got like kind of like a Pauly D look going on.
Trust me, it's awful. It looks absolutely awful. Kevin, and I really don't.
Kevin, do you think, you know, we've talked to you before about like sort of the future of movie theaters and all that. And I know where you stand on that and you love the theater experience and, you know, you're desperate for that to stick around and hopefully it will. But do you think this is going to change the way your company does business with you in terms of like sending you around because you're saving a lot of money on travel. You could do a Zoom press conference, right? So you could do all your interviews. Yeah. You know, the way you're doing them now.
I was talking to Lauren about this the other night. I mean, there's like, so the difference in what I'm doing now versus what I was doing prior is so interesting because, so I'll give you an example. Let's say I was doing the Sonic press junket in Los Angeles. Now, I would rather always be in person. I think that Zoom, it doesn't have a natural flow to it. It feels more robotic versus conversational that you can have in person. And I think you guys know that. I mean, like when you do a show in the room together, there's a vibe that you probably, it's hard to capture when you're doing
it. It's not
out
the exact
the
same. There's no doubt about it. It's not the exact same.
But you make it work. You adapt. Yeah. So, you know, if I was going to LA for Sonic, which I did, that was back in earlier this year, I flew to LA. I was on the ground for 19 hours for a 4-minute interview with Jim Carrey. Now, looking back on that, that was worth it though. To be across from Jim Carrey one-on-one, take a picture with them, show them my tickets. You know, that was worth it.
I know. Yeah, but to your company, it might not be. Like, how much does that travel and putting you up in the hotel all
a lot
cost?
Of times the movie companies pay for it.
Oh, that's true. They do foot the bill there.
Right.
Yeah, if you look on the air, we have a chyron that says, like, the travel and accommodations. You know, because basically the press junkets, they fly the journalists in. And that in particular. So to answer your question, Eric, it is interesting. Like the other day, I did 9 interviews with 14 people between the hours of 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. that night. So I'm jumping back and forth between like 3 different platforms, like Zoom and WebEx, and I'm interviewing Janelle Monáe and then Josh Gad and then Will Forte, and then, you know, it was kind of weird, but it was like kind of satisfying at the end of it to be able to walk upstairs and then not get back on a plane. Now, that being said, I will gladly go back to that way of life. But to answer your question, I don't know. I mean, I think what's going to come down to is whether or not actors and studios are comfortable with people being in the same room. You know, think about it. Like, think about how a junket works. You walk in, you shake someone's hand. You're 4 or 5 feet away from them as you're talking to them. This is all, you know, different now. And I don't even know how they're going to make movies, Eric, to be honest with you. How are they going to do kissing scenes? How are they going to do action scenes? So, I mean, I've heard stories of people saying they're going to, they might have to like close sets completely and just have that be where you live during the time of shooting, so you don't go home and come back with anything. These are just things I've been reading, but I have no idea how it's going to change the production side. But Eric, what's interesting about what you're asking is, I was telling someone this the other day, right now, all the shows that, you know, like Fox 5, the show that I'm on, it's everybody's home. You know, I'm home, you know, Steve's in the studio. So the show looks produced from different sections of the area. Once we go back to a normalcy, you're not going to want to jump into a Zoom interview that looks like bad quality compared to the production of the broadcast. So I think once everything is back to normal, my hope is that the travel starts again and things like that. I want to still do that. I need to get out of the house. I need that pace. I need that. But I also will say this, Eric, to be honest with you, it's making me wonder which ones would be worth it. You know what I mean? Which ones are worth the trip? So,
you'll be a little more choosy. Hey, real quick, because I know we could talk about this for the entire interview. I actually am curious, what do you know about this Russell Crowe movie that's going to go to theaters in just a couple weeks?
So that's an interesting thing. So what you're referring to is a movie called Unhinged. I'd never heard of it before until the other day. So prior to that news breaking, JP's referring to a story that Russell Crowe's Unhinged movie is going to be the first movie that opens up movie theaters again in July. It looks like a straight-to-DVD, VHS, or, you know, Blu-ray type of movie. It doesn't look great. I mean, again, it could be cool. I have no idea. It just doesn't look like a massive production. So prior to that news, JP, Tenet, the Christopher Nolan film, was slated to be that movie. Oh, that movie that's going to bring everybody back to theaters. Chris Nolan, Robert Pattinson, John David Washington, July 17th, return to cinema with one of the greatest directors of all time. He did The Dark Knight and Interstellar and Inception. So when that story hit JP the other day, I was kind of laughing because they're going to throw a random movie like that in front of Tenet to take away that title from Tenet if Tenet is the movie that opens up theaters again.
Russell Crowe's a big-time actor. I didn't know he did garbage straight-to-DVD type movies. Hey, they pay the bills, JP. Maybe so.
And again, I don't know if Unhinged was ever like a straight-to-DVD movie. It just looks like one. But my point is, I think, I was talking to my friends about this, when that was announced, JP, I think that was a publicity move. Because you don't, what else would you be doing other than, oh, we're going to throw our movie in before Chris Nolan's Tenet, so that movie has the ability to be the movie that returns to cinemas. So I found that to be a very weirdly placed publicity moment that gave that movie a ton of publicity because of what it would have meant if it really does open theaters in July. I don't think that movie's going to open theaters in July. I really do not think it will. I think Chris Nolan's Tenet will be that film. So I think that was a bit of a publicity thing. I don't know for sure. That's just my personal opinion on it. I was actually curious to ask you guys real quick. Are you guys watching the PG County documentary tonight, the basketball documentary?
Yeah, I guess. I got to order Showtime, which is so tilted.
So I was talking to the co-directors yesterday. I haven't actually seen it yet, and I can't wait to see it. I'll talk about that briefly, and then Scoob, I know everybody listening to your show who has kids that are interested in that movie coming to VOD this weekend. The film that's coming out today on Showtime, Basketball County in the Water, it's co-directed by two local guys, Jimmy Jenkins and John Beckham, who are great, talented filmmakers, who really kind of examined this idea of PG County and all these amazing players that have come out of there. Again, you guys are bigger sports fans clearly than I am, but I never really put two and two together about all the amazing players that came out of that county. So what I'm interested tonight in the show at 9 o'clock on Showtime is how it plays for everybody across the country. You know, anybody who's in Los Angeles or Tennessee, or how is the PG County story going to reflect to them? And I think it'll actually put PG County a little bit more on the map. But also, it's designed to tell this story. Len Bias, you know, all these amazing players that have come out of this area. I don't think it's ever been strung along in one setting to show you how great this area has been for providing great basketball players. So that's tonight at 9 o'clock, and obviously, Last Dance is finalizing on Sunday. I know you guys are watching it. I did a 30-minute interview with David Aldridge the other day, which I need to put up on YouTube. But he is, that documentary series is amazing. And then Scoob, JP, I know you have a young kid. This is interesting, real fast. For people out there wanting to save their money, when Scoob hits VOD today, you have two options. You have a rental option of $19.99 for 48 hours, and you have a purchase option for $24.99. So basically another $5-6, you own the movie, and then your kid can rewatch it over and over again. So if you're already going to spend that 20, why not spend the 24, and then your kid can watch it as many times as they want.
Is it any good? She's not really a big Scooby. She's a 3-year-old girl. She's not really into Scooby-Doo.
I'll tell you right now, Lauren and I watched it last night, and it was just nice to see a new movie. It was also nice to see gorgeous animation. I feel bad for this filmmaker. Interestingly enough, you guys will find this is kind of cool. The guy who directed this movie was the lead animator on Space Jam in the 90s. And I was talking to him because Space Jam was in The Last Dance recently. They went into Space Jam not knowing how they were even going to make Michael Jordan look like he was playing basketball with animated Bugs Bunny. You know what I mean? Like that was like groundbreaking technology to have that interaction, even though like Roger Rabbit did it in 88, but it wasn't as detailed as it was back then. So Scoob, interestingly enough, is the same director, is the director who did the lead animation on Space Jam. This movie looks gorgeous. Like, I'm telling you right now, the animation in this film is top of the line. I feel bad because the filmmaker's dream was to really watch it in a theater with a large audience. And as I'm watching, I'm like, oh my God, this would be an amazing theater experience. But JP, I'm telling you right now, I think if you sat down with your 3-year-old and watched that movie, you would be have a good time. Your 3-year-old is going to be blown away by the gorgeous, colorful visuals. I think it's like a win-win for parents this weekend.
She loves Trolls, and the purchase of Trolls. Yeah. Actually, we didn't do the purchase. We did the rental. It was definitely worth it. I can get what you're saying about just spend an extra $5, and you can watch it over and over. You can watch it 2 weeks from now.
You own it. Yeah.
Maybe we do that.
To me, I think that's a more cost-effective tool, because if it goes away in 48 hours and you spent the 20, I mean, listen, I know $5 right now could be a lot to some people in regards to, you know, that could be your milk or your groceries. But, I mean, if you are about to spend that $20, just go the extra $4 and you have it. And then your kid can just rewatch it.
Spend that extra $5.
But either way, I know not everybody can spend the money right now. And I'm not trying to tell you how to spend your money. I'm just trying to help you maybe spend it more wisely.
So what was your rating for Scooby-Doo?
I gave that movie a 3.5 out of 5.
Favorite rating.
Yeah, but it's also a movie that does really well for kids and adults. It's a little long, a little cheesy, but overall, I thought the movie was entertaining. And then I'll mention.
By the way, it looks like the characters look a little different to me than what I remember Scooby-Doo and Shaggy looking like.
Yeah, I mean, it's animated. It's the first feature-length animated film they've made for theater, for, like, you know, this type of, like, release. But that's out today. And the last thing I'll mention to you guys for adults, Eric, I think you might be interested in this. It's called Capone. I mentioned it last week. This is about the last year of Al Capone's life. Tom Hardy plays Al Capone. It's directed by a guy named Josh Trank. And the movie has Matt Dillon, Kyle MacLachlan, Linda Cardellini. And basically, you're living with Capone after he's gotten out of prison in Florida for a year as he deals with dementia, as all of his murders and violence comes back to haunt him in his mind. It's R-rated. I mean, there's a scene in the film where Al Capone is walking around in a diaper with a carrot in his mouth and a Tommy gun and shooting people. I mean, like, it's out there. It's a weird movie, but I loved it. It's very different. I don't know if you guys saw The Irishman, but the end of Irishman, the third act, when all the gangsters are reflecting on all that nasty violence they inflicted when they were younger, that's what this movie is like. You're
JP,
watching a gangster.
Kenny Kim, our friend that gives me the golf skinny, here's his review of Capone. He said it was awful. 2 hours of Tom Hardy pooping his pants while imitating Bugs Bunny. Does that sound like fun to you?
It's the worst movie in the world. I told Drab immediately when I saw it that it's melatonin.
That sounds awful.
It'll put you to sleep in the first 15 minutes.
Here's the issue. And Valdez is not wrong in the sense of what you might expect from a Capone film. So Capone, now in Josh Trank's defense, the director of this film, the original title of the film was called Fonzo. It wasn't supposed to be a Capone biopic. So when you put the name Capone on a movie, your audience sits down and goes, huh, this is probably going to be like a classic gangster Capone story, the rise to the gangster, you know, height and then the fall. It doesn't give you that. This is the last year of his life. So to your point, Valdez, if you went in expecting that type of Capone movie.
Well, I remember your review and you told me that it wasn't some sort of shoot 'em up type film. And I knew that going into it. But oh, my God, the dialogue was so tedious. I wanted him to die within the first 10 minutes so I could turn it off.
In Valdez's defense, that is, it's one of the most divisive critical films I've seen in a while. And he's not wrong. There are lots of scenes where Capone is going to the bathroom.
It's a shame that a great actor like Tom Hardy took that role. I'll never look at him the same.
I thought the performance is great. But again, I guarantee you, if we took a sample of like 10 listeners of your audience who watched it, it would probably be very split. I think people will probably
Please avoid it.
Not after this.
I 10 listeners.
I'd rather rewatch Too Hot to Handle. On Netflix.
The Hottie and the Naughty.
Yeah,
that was good titillating dating stuff.
All right, Kevin,
we got to roll.
Okay, so Basketball County's tonight at 9. Last Dance, obviously, Sunday. And then we'll talk about it next week. I might watch Space Jam again this weekend
You're all hoops all the time, all of a sudden.
Are you going outside at all? Are you getting any vitamin D, Kev?
Yeah, I'm going for walks. I mean, the space that I'm sitting in right now is where I've been sitting pretty much all week. I'm trying to mentally just go into the weekend without work on my mind. I'm sure it's the same for you guys, but this has been a pretty wild week.
No, because we got to work on the weekend.
It's pretty hard to do.
No, I know. Well, I love you guys, and Papa Squeezy, and JP, and Rick,
love
and CC, and
all that good stuff.
JP, and Papa, and JP.
Somebody mute him. Make him go away. There you go.
Can't. He'll never go away. His hair's flopping around.
JP!
All right, that was Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5 Entertainment Reporter. We do have John Feinstein at 8 with Fridays with Feinstein on The Fan.
JP.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You know, when this is all done and we are back in the studios in D.C., I'm going to miss having cereal in the morning because
And I know that I can have cereal at the radio station, but sure, I'm not like cakes. I don't save milk, and I just use what they have right there. And I think they do have cereal, but it's like
they do.
If I do cereal and milk via Monumental, it's like $5, and I can't justify that.
You can bring your own cereal. I've done that before.
I understand. It's just I just don't. I don't do it. Right. And I don't anticipate. I know myself. I'm not going to do that. I'm too lazy when it comes to preparing, so I just end up getting some sort of a protein bar,
right,
which usually costs like $3
Life
at Monumental.
Leak.
I've saved a lot of money on gas, and then I wasn't outrageous, but I probably spent $25 a week maybe on the vending machine.
Maybe
a little less than that, but I mean, I will miss having cereal. I don't really know what to do with it because I don't have really a nice setup, so when we come out of the break, I'm holding the bowl, and then I just put it on the floor right by my feet.
Yeah, just eat. That's what I do. I just, although, in the last...
TV tray? You get nothing?
Yeah, I don't have an old-school TV tray.
Those are those
folding
are very
tray, folding table.
Yeah, those are very current. You get a wooden one for, you know, like IKEA for $10 or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, my mom whipped those out for Mother's Day when we came over. We brought over food. She ate inside. We ate on the porch, and she brought out these old TV trays that were probably from 1980.
So
right,
silly.
But you get a nice modern wooden one, you know, for pretty cheap.
Yeah, okay.
I will say that, remember I told you I was going to do the 12-hour fast, which is really not a big deal, right? Most people do like 14 or 16-hour fasts, and I've been killing it. I mean, it's so easy, like 10 to 10, but just don't eat during the show. I am having coffee, so I'm breaking it there. My daughter chastises me, but I actually feel a little bit less bloated already. And I might actually have the courage to actually get on the scale here in a few days.
Very
nice.
Good.
Look at that.
I feel
it's
like
progress.
I might actually have lost a couple LBs.
Nice.
And all I'm doing is, I mean, 10 to, who can't go 10 to 10? I mean, that's butt easy.
But I think the 6 to 10 portion would be difficult for me. I'll generally
does a trick.
Eat at 7 o'clock is when I eat. So I could do a 12-hour bit if I just shut it down at 7 p.m.
The hardest
which usually
part
we have dinner before then, but I'll snack after.
The hardest part is not snacking after, you know. Yeah. So that's why I go to 10. I'm a normal human, probably stops eating at like 7:30 or 8. My dumbass is still eating as late as 10 o'clock, 10:30. But anyway, I like that bit. I wanted to give a shout-out again to Offenbachers. I'm proud and I love to endorse them. Somebody cakes yesterday. They've already – at least I know they've sold several. But when somebody tweets me and say, hey, I just bought a Caldera Spa because of you, and they you know, and they bought it at Offenbachers, I just
good
get
feedback.
Sized.
Yeah,
I just
great.
Get sized. And so I've got the spa from them. I've got the couches around the fire pit. The next thing that we're working on, they said they want to do help me outfit the whole patio and deck, is just two nice wooden teak chaise lounges that'll have, you know, so we can kind of move them around with ease. We're going to make it real resorty, but not as resorty as this guy who sent me a picture. I think he lives out in Ellicott City. In fact, I may have even met him.
He has a baller backyard.
His backyard, I tweeted this picture yesterday. He's got an awesome fire pit, you know, which is cool. And, you know, he got the, you know, your chaise lounges and your Adirondack chairs and everything. But then he's got a bar, a backyard bar that's like the coolest thing I've ever seen, right? For a backyard. He's got his TV up there, right? He's got like, it looks like a replay of the Orioles game going on.
Valdez would have been nice to saddle up to that bar. Valdez, watch the O's.
Did you happen to see that image I tweeted
yesterday? I saw the picture, and it was weird when you're asking where he lived, because I thought like you wanted to go over there and be his friend.
No, I just wondered, like, is that like a Southern Maryland thing? That was my idea.
His like outdoor bar was pretty cool.
Right?
And then I wondered if the TV was like waterproof or like he had a cover for it. Because
it definitely had a cover.
It was a legit bar.
Yeah.
Like that you would see in Ocean City almost.
Right. I'm going to retweet it again right now and people can look at it. EB Junkies, this dude's setup is just awesome. And I actually, Cakes, I don't know that I would leave the house.
If he had a putting green, it would be the best backyard in Maryland.
Right?
It might be. Yeah, it was an impressive setup.
I just retweeted it. Go to EB Junkies if you're in your car or something. You're at a stoplight. Well, nobody's in their car. I don't know, maybe Doug or somebody can put it up on NBC Sports Washington. This dude's backyard, the bar is awesome.
Yeah.
And that's actually something I'd like to eventually do, but I think I need to wait for my kids to be a little older.
Because his backyard made me feel like I'm a pauper, like I'm just so poor. And it just like I looked at that, and I was like, I have a rusting out hoop on my back patio, yeah, and a grill.
Well, it doesn't.
That didn't look expensive.
Yeah, it doesn't look expensive. It just looks time consuming and well done and well thought out.
Like, did he do it himself? Did he do that himself?
Somebody built it for him. It's not something that you would see, you know, in a multi-million-dollar home at Potomac or something.
Right.
You know, it looks like almost like a homemade bar.
Yeah.
But it looks comfortable. It looks awesome to have your friends over to entertain.
Functional.
Yeah.
You have four people lined up to watch Chris Davis strike out.
It's just made of wood and aluminum siding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's very simple. Obviously, he's got electricity in there. He's got it lit up. I'm assuming it's, you know, he's got water and ice going in there.
Maybe I'll have my neighbor Kevin whip one of those up for me in my backyard.
Doesn't that look attractive to you, Cakes?
Yeah, it does. He's got like a little lattice there in the background.
Yeah. So maybe I need to talk to Offenbacher.
And he's got a West Virginia fans thing and a Terps fans thing. That's kind of weird.
Maybe it's his wife and him.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably what it is.
That could be it.
I need to talk to Offenbacher to see if they have any bar setups. That would be the next move.
That's the next step.
Because I'm not going to have a homemade one. That would just look ghetto. I need to get something legit.
You need some professionals in there.
That is definitely homemade.
Yeah. But he did a nice job with it.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Very nice job.
Only thing that he bought is probably the stools, the bar chairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like they look expensive.
We're coveting his setup.
I just think it looks super warm and entertaining.
You know,
Good job, Russ.
It looks like a tiki bar.
Yeah.
It is a tiki bar. It's got a sign in the background.
Like I feel like I'm at the jetty.
Yeah. Yeah, I would totally feel comfortable there. That might have to be put that on my list there.
Yeah.
As we go through the knockoff items.
Russ is the tiki king.
Yeah, he is the tiki king.
He is the tiki king.
Drabby, do you see that? Are you looking at it?
Yes, of course I see it.
You're not coveting? You don't say, well, that's pretty cool?
No, it is. We're just, nobody else can see it, so.
Well, they go to my Twitter. Go to my Twitter.
It's nice. It's nice. It's cool. It's a good idea.
He definitely one-upped you, though, with his fire pit, because that's the new thing now.
Oh, so he re-raised EB?
Yeah, he re-raised EB.
I think my fire pit's a little nicer, to be honest, but his tiki setup.
His entire setup. It's kind of silly. Now, yours is very nice and luxurious, but the bar in the background.
Yeah.
He kind of check raised you.
Yeah, I agree. I agree in that
sense. He three bet you. Now you got to get.
You got three bet.
Yeah, now you need Offenbachers to re-raise him.
Are you going
to
four bet him with an Offenbacher setup?
I got to talk to my guys. I got to talk to Alex and Dave.
I don't even understand what the three bet or the four
bet is. It's poker nerd terminology. It's you're re-raising the initial raiser.
Cakes, I got guys that are inviting, you know, me to play poker.
Yeah.
You know, with that app, Poker Brothers or whatever it was. Is that what I said?
Poker
I
Bros. That,
yeah. Do you want to play
Brother
on,
Bang Bros.
Do you want to play next Monday? It's $20. Could probably
possibly.
Get you in.
Possibly, yeah. Sure.
$20.
I'll just litter my wife's computer with another poker app because my computer is officially dead. I'm going to have to go in the pocket and spend another grand for a new Apple.
Right. Get a refurbished one. I always recommend that.
I think
get a new one.
My wife ordered it. I think it is refurbished.
Yeah, get a refurbished.
I didn't do much research into it. I said, order me something that has a good camera and gets on the internet. That's all I need. That's all I care about for a computer.
Right.
I mean, what else do I use a computer for? Nothing. I don't have any files that I care about.
Yeah, you want it to be able to stream video. You know that.
Stream video, and I don't care about word processing. I don't care about a word or any sort of like something I have to write with on a computer.
Do people even use those things anymore?
You're not writing a novel, Cakes? I'm not writing a novel.
Do people, like, in real jobs, do they still use, like, Word? Like, what would you
I
use
think
that
some
for?
People do.
Some like, people, or all of them.
Yeah, well, I think most people that have real jobs,
like
my wife
uses
radio
email?
DJs. Yeah.
Huh?
Not radio DJs.
Yeah, my wife, though, uses that. Amy uses that stuff all the time for her because she has a real job.
Yeah, but what do you need Word for?
To write.
Yeah, to type stuff.
Well, I can
just
use Notepad.
And then
I can use sticky notes. Print it out.
Yeah, but those aren't as good.
Yeah. I send you Word documents every single day.
Eric, every form.
Every day you have a Word document from work.
You could also send me a different one. You could
send
me
a sticky note.
A sticky note. Yeah, you could send me an email.
Notepad sucks.
Not the most professional look, yeah.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
All I know is I'm going to have a new Apple at my doorstep in about 4 days.
Why
it's going
to
have a good camera.
Stay in the Apple family? It's just easier.
It's just easier that way.
He's in a box.
What am I going to buy, an HP?
You buy an HP for
what am I buy, a compact?
Price. Well, the thing is, listen, gateway? I have Apples too, but when you buy Apples, you do pay a premium for that dumb, pretty box.
It's fine.
Yeah.
What else am I going to buy?
I don't know.
You hate Apple. You have 100 Apple products.
I know. I hate them. I got a million of them.
It doesn't make any sense.
Because he doesn't actually hate them.
He doesn't. He just rails against them.
He hates them. If he actually hated them, he wouldn't buy products.
No. I do hate them. I resent them. 100%. 100% I do.
Actions speak louder than words.
The computer you're looking at me on right now is not an Apple.
Okay. Big deal.
Yeah.
Every day 100 apples into our studios over the years.
I know. I have an Apple lap.
Here's what I do. I take my money. I just give it to Tim Cook and company.
I do resent them.
Take the money and give me a high-performing computer.
I'll tell you
what. Very much.
If somebody could show me an equivalent setup that's just as easy as iMovie that's free, I'll never buy another Apple again.
Okay.
Because that's basically the only
Whoopee-doo. I'm buying an Apple. It's already en route. It's en route to my house right now. Nice.
Unless Jason canceled the Amazon purchase.
No, bought it with my wife's Apple card.
Well
got 3% off. 3%.
Nice.
All right, coming up next, we're going to do a little World Series rewind. We do that every morning at 7:45. And we'll get into what the 2018 Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell, said about Major League Baseball's proposal. We'll do that next here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
For hours with the Rewind feature, radio.com. Download it today, Rickies. Do it. Also, don't forget John Feinstein will be joining us in just about 15 minutes for Fridays with Feinstein.
What did Rory do? Did he take a? That's Feinstein's boy. Did he take a shot at Trump or something? That was like a headline.
I saw the headline.
What did he do?
He said that he wouldn't play with him again, and it was by choice. And he said when he saw him, when he played with him, he was Trump was very charismatic, and he could see the appeal of why people like him. He said he was great to everybody from, everybody on the course. but he said, personal choice, I will decline to play with him again. And I think he's been asked to, and he said no.
Right. A lot of these guys, they can't handle the heat one way or the other. You know what I mean? I'm not going to hold it against them. It's, yeah. When you put yourself out there like that, you're going to get attacked. Doesn't matter who you play with. If you start to dive into the political world. I had somebody who works in radio direct message me yesterday.
Radio Insider.
And he said, dude, I love, you know, this take and this take you had or whatever. He goes, I don't have the balls to put it out there, though. Not that it's particularly ballsy, but you when you put yourself out there, you're gonna get attacked. So,
Time now for our World Series rewind. Today we look back to September 3rd of last year when the Nats played the Mets in a barn burner, which they won 11-10, highlighted by Kurt Suzuki walk-off 3-run tater. Here's our World Series rewind.
It's the World Series rewind, presented by Waldorf Honda, the first and largest remote car delivery dealership for sales and service in the DMV area. Waldorf Honda has kept it simple. Visit their website, waldorfhonda.com.
0-1 to catch the pitch. Swung on. Hit in the air to deep right center field. Conforto going back, way back. Dives, can't get it. Off the wall and in play. Cabrera scores. Behind him, coming home is Rendon. He scores. Over to third is Soto. In the second with a pinch hit. Two-run double is the Z-Man. Ryan Zimmerman comes off the bench and drives in two. The Nationals are within two. With a tie, runs in scoring position. And still only one out, and Kurt Suzuki coming up. It's the Mets 10 and the Nationals 8. Here's the set. 3-2 to Suzuki. Swung on. And deep to left field. Way back. Going. It's gone. Goodbye. Game over. Kurt Suzuki has done it again. Bang. Zoom goes Suzuki. It's one of the wins of the year. And if you walked out of this ballpark with a Mets score,
that's nice tandem, call. You blew it call with Jax and Charlie Slows there. I mean, it's an amazing comeback win.
Is that their signature? I remember hearing that last year when they did that, and I didn't realize. Is that kind of what they do when they have comebacks?
I think it's when, like, if people leave, and have abandoned all hope, and then there's some sort of epic comeback. That's kind of the you blew it. That's their thing.
So, and they've done that several
times. They've
done
it more than once, yeah.
Yeah.
But this game was just dead. The Nats were down 10-4 heading into the ninth. It's one of those games if you live bet, you're like, let me put $500 down to win 10 on the Mets because you just think it's a fat winner, and then the Nats scream back and win when they have a 0.3% win probability in the game.
I guarantee you, I went to bed during that game.
I'm sure you did.
I'm almost 99.9% sure. Because when they go down, I lose faith. And then when they go down big like that, I often just say, F this, I'm wasting my life.
And that was a Scherzer-DeGrom game, so it should have been low scoring based on, Cy Young Award-winning pitchers, but it went to 11-10.
All right, we keep threatening to go through the Blake Snell audio.
I don't know if we threatened it on the air. It's just off air.
Well, we do off air, whatever. And I actually want to hear the audio because I've read the clips, but I haven't heard the audio.
All right, so Blake Snell won the Cy Young Award for Tampa in 2018. He's one of the best pitchers in the game. And he talks about the Major League Baseball proposal and whether he will come back.
Bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making and on top of that, so all that money's gone. And now I play risking my life.
Drab, that's one of your boys. He's from close to Seattle, Washington.
Oh, Shoreline. Didn't know he was a Pacific Northwestern guy.
I don't know if me and Blake Snell see eye to eye on everything, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he can do whatever he wants. I mean, I support him do it. If you don't feel comfortable, he shouldn't go. You know, and believe me, I understand what he's talking about in terms of cutting your pay, because everybody in our business is taking, you know, haircuts.
And Bryce Harper and Nolan however you pronounce his name, Arenado.
Yeah.
Sorry. They both kind of came to the defense of Snell, and maybe all the players are going to be like this. They don't want to take their pay cuts. They think they need to be paid, and there's not going to be a season.
Well, no, here's the thing. Let me just finish my take on it, is that if you don't feel comfortable, you shouldn't play, for sure. And if you're able to, you know, withstand the money loss or whatever, then God bless you. But the one thing I don't have too much sympathy for, and like we all took haircuts, people in broadcasting have taken haircuts. The thing that I think separates us is that they're being asked to do half, so they're only going to pay them half. You know, and we're asked to do more and taking a pay cut. It's fine. That's how the world works. But if someone asked me to do half the work and then they asked me to take half the money, I think I would have less of a leg to stand on.
I don't think he's Mensa, EB. Yeah. I don't think he quite understands. Like, all of a sudden he believes, oh, I'm making 25%.
Yeah. Well, you're maybe doing not half the work. So, you know, for there, you know, I don't know if he has much of a beef there. But, look, if a guy feels like he's putting his life on the line and he's scared for his life, well, yeah, I mean, don't play. He definitely shouldn't play. Definitely shouldn't do it.
I don't know. To me, my takeaway was not that encouraged, because I'm sure there are a ton of players who feel the same way as Blake Snell, who are G'd up, that make so much money that they don't have to rush to get back. And it made me feel discouraged that there's going to be no season.
Now, I would probably say, and this is where people will just pull their hair out and I'll get angry tweets, I would probably say if I was Blake Snell, dude, you got a 99.98% chance of, you know, you're not going to die from this, you know, if you look at the numbers at your age and health. Unless he has some underlying issues I don't know about. But if he doesn't feel comfortable, he shouldn't do it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you make $10 million, $5 million, or $2.5 million. If you think you're going to die, why are you playing?
Yeah,
stay home.
Don't do it. Yeah, definitely don't do it.
He has the right to sit home if he wants to and not make whatever money would be available to him.
If I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be like – the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever.
Right. I mean, that's definitely a good point. Definitely a point.
So. I don't know if I can take it serious when he calls it the Rona.
Right.
Well, that's a lot of
I know, are. I know, but.
Yeah, look, he sounds like
a
clown.
He's a gamer. He was gaming, right? He was playing video games talking about this?
I don't know. I know people from white guys from Seattle don't sound like that.
Yeah,
I don't
know why. He's a little bit of a yo boy.
I had to Google him.
Is that Blake Snell or Macklemore?
If I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be like the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever.
If you're doing your press conference while you're in sniper mode on Call of Duty, you lose some credibility. Sorry, you just do. Mm-hmm. If that's indeed what he was doing.
Well, I guess Bryce Harper chimed in. He was playing Fortnite with one of his teammates.
Again, right. you lose. Look, if you want to be a gamer, that's fine. But if you're being interviewed while you're gaming, you lose some credibility in my eyes.
We all love to bro it up, because if you look at Harper's quotes, he's like, he ain't lying. He's speaking the truth, bro. I ain't mad at him.
Right. A lot of bro talk.
Hey,
a lot of broing it up.
He's got a right to say all that stuff. Got no problem with it at all. Got no problem with it. I mean, I think it's a little – the part I actually have the biggest problem with is bitching about cutting your pay in half when they're asking you to do half the work. I mean, I get it. You signed it. And especially if it's guaranteed, you know, maybe I would feel differently.
Like I said, he's no genius.
Yeah.
I don't think he's figured it quite out.
I think you got to be – a little bit more diplomatic about it. I think Nolan was when he talked about it.
Yes.
But when you sign a $330 million contract and a fifth of the country is out of work, you shouldn't say things like, he ain't lying, bro. You know, we need our money.
Well, I mean, listen, those guys are tone deaf.
Right.
But they have the right to say it.
Oh, sure. I understand. I'm sure they're frustrated, but.
Yeah. I'm not going to, it's hard, you know, I don't want to shame a guy for being, you know, selfish. I don't know. I don't know. It's weird.
All right. When we come back, Fridays with Feinstein on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.